You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White in for Beth React today. The African-American week-long holiday celebration known as Kwanzaa kicks off a week from tomorrow and runs through New Year's Day. Saturday, December the 29th, the California State Capitol will host its annual Kwanzaa event at noon. Polling shows millions of Americans celebrate the holiday, but as a percentage of the total population, it's still only in the single digits. So here this morning to educate us on Kwanzaa, its origins and traditions, is the Reverend Ambrose Carroll, founder of Green the Church. Welcome to Insight. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And Michael Harris, the California State Capitol Kwanzaa coordinator and co-chair of the California Black Agriculture Working Group. Welcome to Insight to you as well.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Really nice to bring you here into the Insight studios to talk about this. Kwanzaa is now celebrated around the world, but it got its start, if I have my history correct, in California in 1966. Reverend, can you tell us a bit about the celebration and how it came to be?
All right. Well, I'll defer to Brother Harris on that.
Oh, okay.
Well, the idea that our California-grown holiday, Kwanzaa, was in fact a product of first fruits of the harvest, which is right out of the Bible. The founder of Kwanzaa was a chicken farmer. His father was in Maryland. And so, you know, part of his education, early education, was grounded in the agricultural lifestyle. And that was synthesized with Pan-African agricultural celebrations and came out of the Watts riot. So it's a very unique California-grown, uniquely American holiday that we celebrate now all around the world.
So there was a lot of tension down in the Los Angeles area in the mid-60s. We had the Watts riots, and I guess there was a desire for some healing, and that's where Kwanzaa came from?
Well, yes. It was a desire for healing in a holistic sense, that we have people of African descent that don't really have a connection to their African ancestry because of the history here in America. We could go through the legacy of enslavement. We could go through the legacy of Jim Crow and some of the dynamics specific to California, just, you know, a unique set of institutional racism that we're still dismantling today here in California. But out of the Watts riots, the civil rights struggle, this was very positive. And today, it is something that people live every day in their lifestyle. You know, people are looking for healthy food. People are looking for, you know, a holistic lifestyle, getting back to natural food. And that's where First Fruits of the Harvest comes alive now.
Would you say it's a bit of an annual history lesson, a time to reflect on traditions that may have been lost over the past couple hundred years?
Well, it's yes and no. The idea that in 1966, there was no African history program. There wasn't any museums of African culture. And so today, we have that in some schools year-round. And so the idea is have Kwanzaa year-round and for everybody to understand what it is. Currently, the standards and practice of California talk with our kids, all of our kids, introduce Black culture through the prism of slavery. And that's something we have to change today because it doesn't reflect the great legacy mm-hmm. people of African descent had, you know, prior to the, you know, institution of slavery.
Right. Mm. Reverend, this is an African-American celebration. Are other races and cultures invited to celebrate it, too, or does that start to venture into the area of cultural appropriation?
You know, growing up in America, growing up myself in Oakland, California, we celebrate America. So it doesn't matter if it's Chinese New Year, doesn't matter if it's St. Patrick's Day, right? Everybody has on green.
Right.
We expect those same notions. And just depending, of course, we take our own deep dive, but the history, it's about living. We definitely believe that, you know, we are all but one humanity. And the more that we learn about one another, as we learn about ourselves, I think it just enriches life itself.
And it can be used as a learning experience for the community, right? An opportunity to invite your neighbors into the house and say, hey, these are some of our traditions. This is our history. This
yeah.
is where we came from.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things.
Of course. Of course. Always open. Always an empty chair at the table. Definitely.
Is there a religious element to Kwanzaa?
oh, we believe that religion and spirituality and community and life are all one. In Africa, there are places where there's no, you know, there's no dichotomy between sacred and secular. And I think, you know, growing up in the West, we kind of have a way of dividing those things out.
No, that's true.
And I think a part of our teaching and a part of this being so entrenched to what we're doing with Green the Church is kind of taking us back to some of those realities. Growing up, a lot of our foreparents as sharecroppers and things of that nature, the same personalities who were the preachers and the deacons were also the farmers and the ranchers. And so there was a oneness, and we really, Kwanzaa is a way of us reflecting that even in faith spaces.
Let's talk about how that's reflected a little bit going down through. It's a week-long celebration, right? It's 7 days. Walk us through those days and what's significant about each one.
Well, there's 7 days, 7 principles, and 7 symbols of Kwanzaa. And you know, a lot of people get lost because it's based in a Swahili language and there's confusion there, but it's real simple. The first day of Kwanzaa is, and I'll just use English, is unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. And then, you know, there's 7 symbols. The Mkeka, well, there I go with
the Swahili, right?
But it's a straw mat, and then there's a candle holder. There's 7 candles. There's a unity cup. There is a gift. There is fruit, and there's corn. And those symbols are, you know, indicative of a harvest celebration. And you light the candle, 1 candle for each day. And you want to make this a interactive, you know, with the youth exchange. And so that's what we're, you know, moving past that to do it year round. And, we're partnering with Sojourner Truth African Museum and Performing Arts Academy to do it year round, where there's a cafe inside the museum. And we're partnering with like Fresher Sacramento, the Sacramento Food Bank, and of course, expanding the capacity of Black agricultural producers for a year round celebration of Kwanzaa. And it's first fruits of the harvest. So we're looking at, you know, unique fruits. So like the muscadine grape and matunda ya Kwanzaa, that's what first fruits of the harvest means in Swahili. And so it's a super fruit and it has high antioxidants that gives, you know, the optimal health benefits. So here in America, we have diet-related disease, and in Africa, we have depleted immune systems. So if we go back to the Bible and, you know, have workers in the vineyard, parable of the workers in the vineyard, where people are growing the number one superfruit with the highest antioxidants, first fruits of harvest comes alive.
The produce that's featured through Kwanzaa, is it easy to find locally? Are there shops that specialize in this sort of thing?
Well, the shop is the farm, you know, the plant, as we call it. And the production capacity of African-American farmers has been diminished over time. The production capacity in Africa has been diminished. And that's why we're partnering with the church, because the church has the numbers. The church has the historic storehouse where you bring the first fruits of your harvest to the church. Mm. That's where the scriptures come in. And that's why it's essential for us to go back to the scriptures. And it's not just Christianity. It's most religions have a first fruits of the harvest celebration. This just particular celebration is through the prism lens of a Pan-African culture, which just simply means where Black people are all over the planet. And people get lost in that. But we've been dispersed all over the planet. Some of it our own doing with, you know, explorations, and some of it through slavery, and some of it we just today get on a plane and say, I want to move there. But we happen to be everywhere, and that's what we mean by Pan-African diaspora.
And you mentioned the term Kwanzaa is Swahili. That was intentional, right? That's an East African language, while much of the slave trade was focused on West Africa, and that was part of that Pan-African effort to was it not?
Yeah, that's exactly true. Swahili is not singularly with one tribe or one nation. It's a trade language, and it provides a positive experience where we could talk to each other and not have to deal with some of the historical challenges. And ironically, it's the money. The gold coins in Angola is the Kwanzaa with 1A.
Are there specific foods that are associated? You talked about the different forms of produce, but are there dishes that have become directly connected with the celebration that you expect to have during that week?
Well, I'll ask Dr. Ambrose to talk about the food that he ate when he was growing up at the church, because that's really what it's about.
Well, food brings us together, right? It's an international language.
Food definitely brings us together, and food is theological, right, as well. And I think it is one of the most beautiful things. We talk about soul food. And growing up, my dad would talk about his mother's biscuits, right? Or you would talk about the greens and the pot liquor from those greens and all of the nutrients that you would get. You would talk about the yams, right? And we, you know, then we'd sweet potato pies instead of pumpkin pies.
Right.
you talk about things that even have been caricatures, like watermelon, right? And, you know, black folk like watermelon. But I remember being 8, 9 years old in Holly, Louisiana, busting them wide open and eating them with seeds in them. The tragedy of our movement to northern cities is we began to eat watermelons with no seeds. Mm. And what does that mean? We used to know where they came from, but now there's a generation that we don't know where the food comes from. We're growing up in what's called food deserts. And even in church, our celebration around food has really been watered down, where now, instead of eating something that is very nutritious, we're now eating a lot of food-like substances. And because we do that in church, if it's Kool-Aid and fried chicken, then we do that at home, which drives up diabetes, which exacerbates our asthma. And so it is a relearning, a renewal. Kwanzaa gives us an opportunity for the ceremonies around land that a lot of people left the South and decided, I'm never going back. I'm never going to pick any more cotton. I don't want my children in any field. And we miss something because it is the land that kept us. It is the land that connected us to spirit. And over the last 40 years, it is moving away from that. And it is caught up in these marginalized places in society, these ghettos that were created for us, right, that we were locked into, to the point where we no longer know where our food comes from. We turn on lights, but we don't know where the energy comes from. And this is us retaking responsibility. And joining the table of humanity to take responsibility for everything.
And an opportunity to reconnect with the land and
definitely
where the food comes from. We're definitely speaking with the Reverend Ambrose Carroll, founder of Green the Church, and Michael Harris, the California State Capitol Kwanzaa coordinator, about the week-long celebration known as Kwanzaa. Are there polls or studies to show whether young people are connecting with this holiday?
I'm sure there are. The reality for me is you see the supermarkets and people want natural food. People are moving to a vegan lifestyle. People don't want animal base in their diet. People want, cars that are cleaner. We look at climate change and we can all attest to what's going on in our environment. And so, you know, the principles of Kwanzaa have been sharing this for a long time. The indigenous cultures have been talking about, you know, taking care of, you know, Mother Earth or grandfather. So Kwanzaa is, you know, again, just a unique expression through the prism of African culture, and people of African descent haven't had the time or the energy to worry about, you know, environmental justice. Because they've been trying to, you know, just pay the bills and keep, you know, a roof over their head. So now there's a number of people that, you know, have taken advantage of that and are leading the forefront of environmental justice, because there's been a challenge in our communities, hardest hit by, you know, the degradation of the environment. So, yes, Kwanzaa, again, it's part of a holistic lifestyle change. It's not just for the holiday is the 7 days of the at the end of the year, but it's something you live your life through. Mm. And it's the basis. It's not the end of it. It's the basis.
It's interesting the point that you made that it's a luxury to have those concerns regarding the environment and whether your food's organic or not.
Sure.
Well, if you, the farm bill just passes $867 billion, and you know the biggest contentious argument is about supplemental nutrition assistance program, and some people did not eat last night. So to say, okay, we're going to take care of folks with supplemental that didn't eat, you know, there's a big gap in terms of where we are with reality and where the policy is. And so we have to be intentional on changing that. So if we're going to have a planet Earth, we need to start with the lowest, because there's a lot of people who didn't eat last night.
Michael, is this Capitol celebration one of the larger Kwanzaa celebrations in the state?
Not in the state. It's there's so many Kwanzaa celebrations now and throughout the region of Northern California. We'll be at capacity in the largest room in the Capitol on Saturday. But there's, you know, it starts on
a
the
week 26th. From Saturday, right?
The 29th.
Okay,
yes, a week from this Saturday. And then there's a host of workshops and events all around Northern California. It's growing, so the events don't be so large as in the past they have been. But 350 seats in the Capitol, I'm sure we're going to have a festive occasion. We have the president of the California Baptist Convention, and I'll let Dr. Carroll talk about that a little bit.
Definitely. Comes in a beautiful time in Kwanzaa. All faith traditions, all the denominations will be present. But the week after Christmas, for the last 30 years, the California State Baptist Youth and Young Adult Convention comes together, oftentimes in Fresno. This year, we will be in Sacramento from the 26th through the 29th, which is about 700 young people in the city. And so our president, Reverend Welton Pleasant, pastor of Christ Second Baptist Church in Long Beach, will be present. He's going to be one of our keynote speakers. And so we plan to bring the youth and some music and some movement to it as well. So it's going to be a fantastic time. A lot of the sister congregations in Sacramento are welcomed, and we're just going to have a wonderful experience on that day.
Well, real pleasure meeting you both. Thank you for being here and giving us all an education. The Reverend Ambrose Carroll, founder of Green the Church, and Michael Harris about the week-long celebration known as Kwanzaa, coming up a week from tomorrow. Thanks, both of you, for being on Insight.
Thank you.
And we have more on our website, of course, at capradio.org. As we head into a short break here, let's listen to Matunda ya Kwanzaa, a song written and composed by Kevin Davis. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.